A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours at 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, April the 19th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Women and Health Alliance International, in conjunction with the University of Zimbabwe and Parerenyatwa Hospital, says their fourth fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe, held at Parerenyatwa Hospital prior to the Easter holiday, was hugely successful.
About 85% of the women we had were coming from the rural areas. Actually say to us they heard it, or a neighbor or a friend heard it on Studio 7, and they informed them about the program to repair women suffering from the condition of either obstetric fistula in the form of vaginal or rectal, or leaking either urine or feces. We said it was very successful.
The head of the country's meteorological department, Tichawo Nazinyemba, says communities need to adapt to climate change.
Climate change obviously is a very topical issue, but I think what is important is this concept of climate mitigation and adaptation. In other words, we're saying, given that the climate is changing and this is now a given issue, what can the community do? This is what is important.
We hear from some of our Studio 7 listeners on their views on the country's independence 35 years down the line.
My name is Tafazo Nkomo. The only thing for me to be celebrating is that I am a Zimbabwean and not a Rhodesian. Well, that's all. Thank you.
And as usual, we have the Youth Forum from Tatenda Gumbo. The Women and Health Alliance International, in conjunction with the University of Zimbabwe and Parerenyatwa Hospital, says their fourth fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe, held at Parerenyatwa Hospital prior to the Easter holiday, was hugely successful, thanks in part to Studio 7. The organization says it will have another clinic at the end of this month. The medical condition is characterized by urinary and fecal incontinence, is sustained during childbirth, and can lead to bladder and skin infections, kidney disorders, and at times death if left untreated. We caught up with Priscilla Mabande of the Women and Health Alliance to hear more on the issue.
We were running some free surgeries at the Parerenyatwa Hospital. The surgeries that we held were running from the 30th of March this year up until the 3rd of April, which was actually on the Good Friday day, to repair women suffering from the condition of either obstetric fistula in the form of vaginal or rectal, or leaking either urine or feces. We said it was very successful. A total of 37 women came through, and of the 27, 21 had successful surgeries done. The remaining 6 that appeared just had different types of incontinence, either stress or urge, and they needed no surgery at all. The response from the general public was quite overwhelming, because normally it's a condition that nobody wants to speak about, but when they heard that there is help out there, these women stepped forward, and we thank them very much for being so brave.
And when is your next clinic or the next surgery is going to be done?
So the next camp, the next set of surgeries, will be held from the 27th of April to the 30th of April. And this will also be done in Harare. But we encourage the public not to travel based on the information they are hearing on radio, but instead to get in touch with us so that we can get them to come through on the correct date, because the doctors are not here on standby. They travel for that particular period, and then we book in the patient in advance.
So for those who would like to book their appointments, where can they book?
Anybody wanting to book an appointment can call us, or send a message or call me back on the following number, 0782-640-840. I'll repeat the number, 0782-640-840. On this number also you can get in touch with us on WhatsApp. Another number they can use, 0779-626-506. I'll repeat the number, 0779-626-506.
Where did the women say they got this information to attend your clinic?
Okay, most of the women, about 85% of the women we had were coming from the rural areas, actually say to us they heard it, or a neighbor or a friend heard it on Studio 7 and they informed them about the program. Thank you so much for that wonderful support in getting the word out there.
That was Priscilla Mabande of the Women and Health Alliance in Harare. The head of the country's meteorological department, Tishao Nazinyemba, says community need to adopt climate change as a way of dealing with the changes in the country's cropping seasons. Zinyemba tells us more on the issue.
Climate change obviously is a very topical issue, but I think what is important is this concept of climate mitigation and adaptation. In other words, we're saying, given that the climate is changing and this is now a given issue, what can the community do? This is what is important. And as far as from the meteorological perspective, I think we've seen extreme weather events. We've seen things like droughts, things like severe weather events. And these are features of climate change, and the communities can adapt around those issues and find the best way of sustenance. Obviously, there's nothing much one can do, issues like drought, but what can, obviously, this can be looked from a holistic point of view, that the stakeholders and the government on the whole, it becomes, obviously, the kingpin in addressing some of the issues. So there are ways of adapting and mitigating issues to do with climate change, and communities have to learn to adapt themselves.
What are some of these ways of, like you're saying, dealing with climate change that communities can actually practically use day to day?
Some of the issues which can be addressed in terms, for instance, when you're talking of drought, what can the communities do? Utilize irrigation. And so these are one of the ways by which you can actually get resources in terms of cropping. Because for one thing, the dams might have water, and therefore that water can be used for irrigation and therefore encourage crop production. This is just one of the many examples that can be used.
Can people expect more floods as we go into the later part of the year? What's the situation regarding flooding in Zimbabwe?
At the moment, our 2014-2015 rainfall season is coming to an end, and officially, northern parts of the country, it ends first week of April. But having said that, our beginning of the next 2015-2016 will be towards the tail end of this year. So obviously, zooming into this season, I don't anticipate there could be some flash flooding, but obviously the rainfall season is coming in, so we're not expecting a lot of rain. So in terms of flash flooding, remember flash flooding is a concept we're looking at more at least 30 minutes or less. Therefore, you can have a huge amount and runoff, but also at the same time, if the ground is very dry, and therefore whatever runoff there is, will actually be will soak into the ground. So there might not be that much flash flooding, but there's always a risk of flash flooding with any heavy rain.
And what would you advise those that are in areas that are flooded, whether by flash flooding or just general floods, to do, especially in the rural areas?
I'm going to zoom in on align myself to flash flooding, because this is what we do other than hydrological flooding. So in terms of flash flooding, obviously, do not cross rivers and avoid flooded streams. And flash flooding, as I said, will just be a matter of 30 minutes. So I think you just waiting for that 30 minutes and let the waters subside will actually safeguard one flash. We encourage parents, especially parents for school-going children, to encourage the children not to cross rivers. I think it's imperative that they should not cross flooded rivers as a way of safeguarding their lives. And motorists, the tendency of trying to cross flooded rivers, we do discourage that vehemently, because this season we've seen loss of life due to wanting to cross flooded rivers. But as I said, we are not anticipating any flooding of rivers, because these rains are almost like coming to an end.
That was the head of the country's meteorological department, Tishao Nazinyemba, in Harare. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Happy independence to all Zimbabweans around the world. And as we mark Zimbabwe's 35th independence, I feature Munyaradzi Munochiwe, Assistant Professor of History at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts here in America. Munyaradzi reflects on being a born free as he was born in April 1980 and also the role of young Zimbabweans, especially those in the diaspora, looking forward in Zimbabwe's future.
Just as other Zimbabwean millennials born in the early 1980s, I look back with nostalgia, you know, and pine for the good old days of the 1980s, early 1990s. I mean, we remember a much simpler life, with a majority of people full of promise, you know, both old and young. We recall the early years of a respectable standard of living for both old and young. But at the dawn of the new millennium, you know, in the early 2000s up until now, we've had a complete role reversal. You know, promises turned into tragedies and dreams turned into nightmares as political, social, and economic crises sort of, you know, wreaked havoc on our lives. Nevertheless, despite the gloom that still characterizes Zimbabwe, for me, it is important to never forget that which matters the most. That is the fact that Zimbabwe, in 1980, for example, was born with promise of freedom and prosperity.
Looking at you living in the diaspora, how do you mark independence?
Let me say that, you know, I've lived in the United States since the early 2000s, and every April since moving to the United States, I've always found it inescapable to reflect on the relevance of Zimbabwean independence.
As a parent raising children in the diaspora, is it important for you to teach your children Zimbabwean history?
For me, it is fortuitous that I'm not just passionate about teaching my own children about Zimbabwe's past, but I'm also a historian of the Zimbabwean past. So for better or worse, my children are saturated with lessons of Zimbabwean history. But even if I wasn't a historian, as a Zimbabwean parent raising children in the diaspora, it is imperative to teach children born to Zimbabweans the history of Zimbabwe.
Well, how are you reconciling the history lessons about Zimbabwe that your children might not be receiving in their formal educational setting, focusing on what you grew up learning as a child?
Right. Well, fortunately, I have a very strong background in formal history education from Zimbabwe, of course, getting back to, you know, history classes in secondary or high school. But nevertheless, in order, you know, for my children to relate to life and the experiences of Zimbabwe, I also emphasize teaching my children things that I remember about my own past.
Would you say it's difficult to create an interest among young Zimbabweans about their history?
In truth, I think for most young Zimbabweans in the diaspora, it is particularly challenging and perhaps difficult to be interested in the Zimbabwean past, particularly because of the immediacy or the close proximity of the years of crisis and decay in Zimbabwe. Young diaspora Zimbabweans are probably overwhelmed, you know, with the stories of the Zimbabwean crisis, you know, ever since the late 1990s. I mean, for most of them, perhaps, you know, they have been fed on a steady diet of narratives of economic, you know, meltdown, poverty, political violence, dictatorship, social decay, death and disease. These young Zimbabweans probably feel, you know, I'd like to say, you know, alienated or distanced, you know, from the Zimbabwean past. Probably they feel a relatively enduring sense of estrangement, you know, from the existing political, social, or even economic institutions in Zimbabwe. So for these young people, being alienated and estranged from Zimbabwe, perhaps they feel like outsiders. And of course, you know, they come sort of, you know, to embrace alternative forms of belonging that are at odds with the prevailing Zimbabwean regime. Sometimes when I listen to Zimbabwean diasporans, of course, I detect various dimensions of alienation, such as feelings of powerlessness, cynicism, negativism, value rejection, or anomie. But of course, I think not all is lost. Perhaps I'm a sort of a, you know, a hopeless optimist. But beyond the current, you know, sort of, you know, political regime in Zimbabwe that is responsible for the decay in the country, I think it is possible future young, you know, generations, young generations of Zimbabweans to imagine and carve a better future for Zimbabwe, even when most of them are outside of Zimbabwe.
And how can that be done for those living in the diaspora?
I think it is important for young Zimbabweans to cultivate a sense of veneration of the Zimbabwean past, to learn about not just the recent tragic present, but, you know, to learn about the distant past as well.
Thank you much again to Munyaradzi Munochiwe, Assistant Professor of History at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts. This is Tatenda Gumbo wishing everyone a happy Independence Day weekend, and make sure you join me next week.
And opinion is divided over the pros and cons of independence. Some say 35 years down the line, there are still disappearances in the country, like that of activist Itai Dzamara. And some Zimbabweans are perishing due to xenophobia in South Africa due to the spiraling economic environment in the country. We hear more from some of our listeners on their views on independence.
Hello, Zimbabwe. Hello, Studio 7 listeners. This is Jablani Dogu calling from Kirezi. To me, I feel I'm not yet independent. Yes, physically, I might say we are independent, but emotionally, as a Zimbabwean, a true Zimbabwean, I'm not yet independent.
I'm Kichawana Madike from Mutare. Shout-outs to all the Studio 7 crew, and God bless you. I'm proud to be a Zimbabwean, and I love the integrity in it, and share their passion. I'm encouraging other Zimbabweans all over the world that they should love Zimbabwe. It is our country, and other people have died for it, and we are happy. And I can say, all I can say is, happy birthday, Zimbabwe. Wish you many more. Despite the economic and the bankruptcy which we're facing, but I'm proud to be Zimbabwean.
Yo, what's up, Studio 7? My name is Clit Naz. Hello, I want to talk about independence in Zimbabwe. Yo, listen up. From my own personal view, there is no independence in Zimbabwe. From the way I say it, independence, it's a way of freedom in the country. There is no freedom in Zimbabwe. People are suffering in Zimbabwe. Who is celebrating independence? No one is celebrating independence. Even if you walk in the driveways, no one is happy about Zimbabwe's situation.
Hello, my name is Tafazu Nkomo. The only thing for me to be celebrating is that I am a Zimbabwean and not a Rhodesian. Well, that's all. Thank you.
Those were some interesting views from some of our Studio 7 listeners who at this moment are celebrating the second day of independence in Zimbabwe. This is Studio 7 for Zimbabwe, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington. Now to recap on today's top stories. The Women and Health Alliance International, in conjunction with the University of Zimbabwe and Parirenyatwa Hospital, say their fourth fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe, held at Parirenyatwa Hospital prior to the Easter holiday, was hugely successful, thanks in part to Studio 7. The organization says it will have another clinic at the end of the month. The head of the country's meteorological department, Tichawana Zinyemba, says communities need to adapt to climate change as a way of dealing with the changes in the country's cropping seasons. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, April 19th, the second day of the Independence Holiday 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, a great week ahead, and happy independence.